There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave.
We've talked about Jesus opened the gates of death, hell, and the grave. Is Ion bringing in, completing what Jesus did by evaporating the gulf, or whatever phrase you would use for having us live powerful enough that we can stay in the physical and experience the bliss of the non-physical without transitioning?
Isn't it very interesting that the Christian faith, and many, many, many are of the Christian faith in a religious realm or vein that they can abide in, okay, that's why you have more than one, that you come to a place where you understand what Jesus said, you try to become a disciple of Christ, you try to be the bride that the Messiah is coming back to retrieve, and yet you can't even sit in the pews with your neighbor, co-creators. So now Jesus must love you more than he loves me. Oh, well, then now Jesus must, I must be higher in the food chain than you are because of where we are. Well, if you just did what Jesus said when he was crucified, who crucified Jesus? It was those Romans. Isn't that where Peter was from? Wait, we're confused. Anyhow, long story short, when he was on the cross and he went to purgatory, hell, the middle place, and with him he took the keys. The keys are used to open doors, to unlock barriers. He took the keys to death. Okay, so now there doesn't have to be any more death. Done. He took the keys to hell, this underplace, the underbelly, to where those souls would have to be held in abeyance until this limerick could get worked out with how this whole being saved process could be addressed completely. And the grave. That means that you don't have to dig a hole and chump the meat sack in there anymore.
Hmm.
And he completed that ever 2,000 plus years ago, however you figured out. You wax and wane on when it was, so we'll leave it to the Council of Nicaea in 25. They seemed to know best, and they decided how it was going to be, so that's the way it was.
And that was not 325, that was 25 AD. Everybody thinks it's 325, but our time system's all wrong, so just...
Well, it's in dog years. You created it, so... Figure it out. Maybe you take out leap years and it all works out for you. Now, Jesus went to hell, purgatory, the middle place, and he preached to those lost souls that couldn't get saved because they were pre-Messiah. I guess that would be a pre-Messianic period?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Well, fine. But the only point is he was a God, just like you are. He was a creator, just like you are. He was sinless, just like you are. And not only the difference with him is he recognized it. He recognized his deity within his meat sack. Oh, but if you ask Mr. Brown, all of a sudden now there's little Jesus children running around all over the place. So that's a whole other topical thing that was a work of nonfiction that's quickly becoming a whole religion. But that's just you human creators. You keep mixing it up, so it's very delicious, and we have no trouble with it all.
Dan Brown. You refer to Dan Brown's novels.
The Da Vinci...
Yeah, and angels and demons.
The Da Vinci insignia. So, now you're rolling along, and he abolished all this. All gone, all done. Well, why in the name of God would you still be engaging this fear tactic that's going to separate you from your physicalness? Why wouldn't you just take your Messiah's word, if you're Christian especially, why can't you just embrace that to such a degree that you don't have to no longer be judged, since that Messiah, that God, worked it all out? If that's your belief system, why wouldn't that be enough? If not, why not? And now you're coming into place through contrast to where you're starting to discover these things, that you are indeed powerful, that you are indeed a creator. You'd have to be a marvelous creator to create the messes that you enjoy today. You couldn't make, this would be beyond fiction. Gene Roddenberry wouldn't have a chance. You calculate what's been going on and how it's going on. There's something afoot here, sports fans. You can't get there, and you don't need non-physical to explain this to you. Just open the paper. Pick your day. It's okay. And then you start pulling back against the non-physical, that this anomalous woo-woo non-physical thing is coming to straighten out all the human creators. No. All we're doing is just saying, rub the lamp, tell the genie what you want, and then let it into your experience. And know that any request that's granted, you granted it. And if you come to that place very quickly, we're having a way different conversation after about 2.3 seconds.
We're saying that Ion's agenda is stay in the physical, in touch with the non-physical, but you're saying that was Jesus' agenda.
And it worked well. They're still speaking of him.
Well, is that all that's important if you're talked about? Is that immortality?
What's immortality? Oh, wait a minute. No. Immortality. You've got to accept some mortality. You can't even address more. You don't even know what mortality is. How are you going to engage immortality?
We were talking maybe last week about how Dante's Divine Comedy really solidified the meme of hell and the terrible departments of hell, and that was created by Dante and the printing press, but that was not the hell, those images that Dante created, that Jesus was dealing with.
That was a spurned Christian who was going to make this punishment phase of not abiding in the religious order, giving it girth.
So what was the content of the image of hell that Jesus was dealing with, and where did those images come from? Was it part of the Hebraic tradition?
Well, apparently it's the seamless place. The Catholic Church says that purgatory is indeed the Gulf.
And that's partly true.
That's what they say.
No, but does Ion agree? Because you are in, the Gulf is in the middle place, right?
Well, if you call it middle, it's the distance between you and you from a non-physical to physical. So, see, you get kind of quibbling here. Where's heaven? Okay, 6 inches above the earth. And where's hell? 6 inches below the earth. Well, why does 6 inches come into play at all, you see? Of its geography, it really doesn't make any difference. But if you have to have heaven on high and hell down below, okay, fine. That's pleasing, just as pleasing as any to us. It's not even the way it is, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. What Jesus was trying to do was to say, come into your power as a deity.
Did he use the words gates in his language, the gates of hell? Was he saying, I am going to do this and unlock the gates?
Yeah.
What did people think hell was, since it wasn't the imagery we have?
Well, apparently it was the separation from God, from your deity.
Mm. And all humans always, through our civilizations, could tap into the non-physical in the way you're talking about. So humans,
they do.
So human, mature humans back then got what he meant.
Well,
I mean, individually, was there any human who got what he meant? Did anybody get Jesus' message in the full sense, in totality?
We would say there are many that took that basic understanding, and they became what your Emerald Tablets describe as an evolved or an ascended man, M-A-N, capital. Now, we're not talking about gender here. We're talking about species. And once you come into that power, there are many who come to that place. Where they go, you guys are messing it all up. You don't understand. You're not getting it. Go this way, go this way, go this way. And then the human creators go, nah, I'm not going that way. It's a plot. It's a cult. We're going to have to drink Jim Jones Kool-Aid and Heaven's Gate can't wait. And then we're going to have Milky Way bars. And we're going to go transversing through the universe. We can't even figure out how to handle our sewage right here on this planet. So now we're going to go to Mars and work it out. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Well, they embrace it to such a degree that it just becomes, the anomaly is the distance between the embracing of your power, coming into your power. Look what that would do for your judicial system. It would wipe it out. It would completely eradicate it. It wouldn't come up. It wouldn't be discussed. It would be solved. Case dismissed.
I am guilty. I created the situation. I did this. I did nobody. Yeah, I see what you mean. So it totally dissolved.
You act as though this was the first time this ever happened and this is kind of new, but many of the other human creators of the day, the only reason they took notice of Jesus is because they thought he was the reincarnated spirit of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist gave them all kinds of fits and trouble because John the Baptist says, wait a second, get off this business. Get on with your world. Create your world. Create the dynamic that is your reality, because that's the reality that you're going to enjoy or not, but it's all yours. That was why they had trouble with Jesus in the beginning place anyway.
The reason why this has been such a difficult message for people to actually follow through with is because they have to deal with the ramifications of realizing that they did it. I did it. Whatever it is, good, bad, or otherwise. Nobody wants that responsibility. A lot of people don't want it.
Well, James, according to your rules and regulations as human creators, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you place the blame.
That's according to us. We think who's in charge is a more important position than whether we're doing something right or wrong.
It's been the battle since your beginning.
Yeah.
It's never about right or wrong. Everybody knows that. You intuitively know that. You have a conscience that tells you right and wrong, what you call wrong, or outside of yourself. You have that. But that's not the battle. The battle's in who's in charge. Whose fault is it?
And that's for only those that need an image of leadership or being in chargeness. That part of humans that want that, they're the ones who fall into that problem.
Whose reign will reign supreme?
And that's an issue if you are concerned about sovereignty outside of yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly correct. And if you'll take it back inward into your own dichotomy, then what happens is you get to choose. You get to call it the way you want it. You're the referee. You get to say what's out of bounds and what's not.
But other...
Is out of bounds an end-all, end-all? No. There might even be a penalty. Okay, if there's a penalty, the referee decides that. Well, you're the referee. You're the judge and the jury. You're the jury of your peers.
But other people with their own universes and sovereignties will overlap and resonate and interfere with what you're doing or support it. That, do you have to acknowledge anything about anybody else?
No, not at all. The only time that comes into the equation is when you include it.
Jesus unlocked the gates of hell and is moving towards removing the guff. Bringing heaven to here means the guff must be removed so that we don't have to die.
No, it becomes no place. If no one transcends or transitions to non-physical, then there's no holding place or the gulf that you have to wait into your process of non-physical bliss without contrast. So once you usher in the kingdom and you have heaven on earth as it is in heaven, that's what Jesus said. If you don't know how to pray, pray this way, and then there comes the Lord's Prayer, that you usher in heaven on earth. And once you have that utopia, and that's a fun word because nobody uses that, this utopian place of bliss, and you don't have to you don't have to go to non-physical because you can have contrastlessness here. Contrastlessness here. Well, when that's the case, your body is constantly renewing and redoing itself, and there's no, who said that you could only, your time span is only gauged when everybody decides that they're ready to go. It's like the party's over here. Well, if nobody says the party's over, you don't have to leave. You can stay right here, right now, in your physicalness forever. You are an eternal being. Every aspect of you is gauged and created by you to continually recreate and create itself for perpetuity, for eternity.
So the religious meme that says we're moving towards heaven, make yourself cool here so you can be prepared for the afterlife, that actually undermines the mission of Jesus, which was to create a situation where we don't have to leave here.
Correct. Heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth. Who's thy? The individual human creators. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So then the nebulous aspect of this woo-woo side of spirituality now comes into the, instead of being the sweet by and by, it's now the dirty here and now. So now you can deal with it from your aspect right here, right now, and you actually can indeed be the author of the ushering of what you're calling a Christ consciousness in your reality. And if you bring heaven here, where does that move hell? This lake of fire that you're supposed to go to burn in eternity for? Well, interesting.
There is no time implies the Christian point that Christ was supposed to have made that you bring heaven here. You do not have to die. That's pretty profound for people.
Well, but then they speak it right in the next line. They speak about enjoying eternal life. So you have to be stone cold dead to enjoy eternal life. Well, wait a minute. Why?
They do say that.
They do. And because you got to get over this part so you can get to the good part. You are immortal. It's just your process that says, yes, I'm going over the River Jordan, or no, I'm not. Okay, then you can take a Buddhist. We have nothing against Buddha. We love him very marvelously. It's a fabulous thing. No problem. But a Buddhist, they have to, the job of what they teach you is that you should quench desire. And if you're able to quench your desire, your earthly desires, then you get in exchange for that enlightenment. But isn't the quenching of a desire, is that not a desire?
Right, and you came to the physical body because you wanted to do that in the first place.
Exactly. So you come to the place that even the principle by which that you're supposed to gauge your world on begins on a false premise, because if you quench desire, that's a desire. Well, how do you quench desire? We have readings that we do, and we say, okay, here are the rules. The only rule is that there are no rules. Well, but that's a rule. So there's one rule. The only rule is that there are no rules. So no rules. Whatever you want to talk about, that's fine. It's a conundrum that you come to the place and go, well, you said there's no rules. Yes, there is. There's one. The only rule is that there's no rules. So that's the rule. So then, you know, then it's the chicken and the egg process, and you're trying to figure it out. But don't worry. Hang on. If you have problems with it, it'll be over soon. It'll be over soon. You don't have to worry. The contrast will take care of it for you. Don't worry.
So most people transition, say, oh, gee, it's okay over here, right? Didn't need to transition to find out it's okay over here.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then the interesting part of that is when people have the near-death experience, what Ion...
Near-death. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Almost alive. Almost alive. Near-death, so I'm almost alive. There you go.
That as you're coming back and you see the tunnel, it's not going out that you see the tunnel and the light. You're not going into the night light. You're coming back into the light, and it mimics the birthing experience. I thought that was very interesting.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And that's the part that you are able to remember through the labyrinth of your mind. Oh, yeah, I've done this before. I did this when I got here the first time. Ah, so the Messiah must have returned. And then you start living life a very different. Your fervor for living becomes re-energized, recharged, because then you're kind of going, wait, this is the best that it is. We'll just wait till the next now. Oh, wait, now it's gone. Oh, wait, now, wait. Oh, hold on, wait for it. Now, see, it just kind of gets to be silly after a little bit. Enjoy the best of life that is. And if there's contrast, use that contrast to gauge where you want to be. Relax and allow and let it flow seamlessly flowing to you. You have all of non-physical. That's where your 100th monkey starts working. You have all of non-physical saying, your wish is my command, your wish is my command, your wish is my command, your wish is my command. The problem is you keep tangling up the questions of your wishes. I want to be happy. That's too much happiness. I want to be wealthy. Oh, that's too much wealthy. Now it's a problem. Now it's a job. Now I have to hire people to count my money, and this is a problem. They're going to steal from me. On and on and on. And you keep changing it. And just like Aladdin's genie, the blue genie that comes out, he doesn't say you have three wishes. He says, your wish is my command. What's your wish? What's your wish? What's your wish? And then all of the universe, your universe, goes to work to work it out. Bring in the details. Plan the party. Get the food. Get the thing together. Get it all worked out. And then when you come to the place of saying, yes, perfect, this is exactly right, but it's never quite there. Then you say, well, no, I wanted a blue tablecloth. I don't want those red tablecloths. I want blue tablecloths. The whole schematic is wrong. And then you're less than, because now you've created by default something that you didn't really want. But that wanting is no problem, because it's no problem. Non-physical says, okay, boom, there you go. Blue tablecloths it is. No reds. You're good.
Decide what you want to do next. That really is the fastest path to joy. That's the next thing to be done.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And then what happens is that your physicalness will respond immediately. Immediately. Not somewhere off in the nebulous nether regions of woo-woo. Right here, right now. In your physicalness. Not somewhere out there. You don't have to wait on anybody to show up or somebody to come or somebody to leave or have another Messiah that you kill. I mean, isn't it amazing? You have a Messiah and then you put him on the cross. It's amazing that you come to this place that it's always outside of you, that you're less than, that you're not worthy. That's what Jesus spent all day, every day, trying to come into your faith, made you whole. Not my faith, your faith. Then you come into this whole place where you have a dogma then that says, okay, all you sinners, sit over here until we get it worked out. And if you work out just right and do what we say the way we say it, then you maybe can be forgiven. Oh, no, you can take your own forgiveness. Ah, so you can come into your own place in forgiving yourself into this delicious web that you cast out into the waters. Then you come into a place to where all of a sudden it starts to click and it makes sense. Then you're hitting on all cylinders. Then the cares of life start to grow strangely dim. And you find yourself happy in whatever state you're in. You find yourself complete. You find yourself encouraged. You find yourself excited for the new deliciousness that is your experience. And you just can't wait. Once you get used to it, it's all of a sudden, once it becomes normal, people that are in the billionaire crowd, they don't worry about money. That's normal.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer.